One of the things that we constantly heard from people who came to us in the beginning was, I felt great for about a month or two, and then all the symptoms came back. He tried increasing the dose of the niacinamide, and it just made it worse. That was one of the first tip-offs I had to what was happening. So when people would tell me they were taking the same thing and they felt great and then it stopped working, I went to see how mutative Candida was, how quickly it would mutate or become drug resistant. And I found the answer very simply in textbooks.
Welcome to the Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast. This is your podcast host, Leah Brueggemann. I am a functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner. Here you are going to get actionable steps you can take today to start balancing your hormones naturally so that you can maximize your menstrual cycle for painless periods, more energy, and weight loss. Let's dive on in. So today we are talking with Dr. Michael Biamonti, which I feel like I have nailed how to say his name yet now, but he has an incredible book out called The Candida Chronicles. And I think you will find it incredibly interesting. He really breaks down why Candida is so hard to get rid of, and it's quite insightful. So he has been a practitioner for over 30 years, and he holds a doctorate of naturopathy and is also a New York State certified clinical nutritionist. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about, but he does a really great job of breaking down Candida. What is Candida? Why is it so hard to get rid of? What tests should you run for Candida? And I think you will find it incredibly useful. I think a lot of people deal with Candida, and it just is it's the one thing that keeps coming back and won't go away. So I think you will find it very, very incredibly helpful. And we'll definitely put the link in the show notes to his book so you can check that out. All right, ladies. So we are back with Dr. Biamonti, who I made him tell me how to say his name like five times. So we're going to call him Dr. B for the rest of the show here. But we are talking all about Candida. But most specifically, when I was reading through your Candida Chronicles, I was very, very intrigued by the fact that you said how hard Candida is to get rid of. And I definitely find that with my clients. It's like, why are we on round three of trying to get rid of Candida? This is ridiculous. So can we just jump right into that? Like, why is Candida such an issue and why is it so hard to get rid of?
Well, the reason why it's so hard to get rid of is because it's a dimorphic organism. The word dimorphic means to live in two different states. So it can exist as a fungus or it can exist as a yeast. And it switches itself back and forth to try to avoid being killed by medicines.
Mm.
The other problem with getting rid of it is more the technology that exists. Most people just apply the wrong technology. Nobody really knows. No one has solved the riddle except for me on how you actually get rid of it permanently and how you know you've gotten rid of it permanently. So it's like a phantom that it's always out there in the background and people think they've gotten rid of it, but they haven't. And a lot of that, unfortunately, I have to blame on the internet and social media and a lot of the products that they try to push on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they're multi-level companies that are doing this and they'll get into sensationalism.
Yeah.
Like there's a company out there where people say, well, I got rid of my Candida in 3 weeks. Now, what does that mean? It means the person took this product and within 3 weeks, he had some kind of improvement. Did he test for Candida prior to taking it? We don't know. Did he test for Candida after taking it? We don't know. It's all based on symptoms and rumors.
Mm-hmm.
So then the problem comes back and the person doesn't know it's Candida. He'll say, we'll attribute it to something else. And then eventually, if he goes to a doctor who actually tests him and he finds out the Candida is there again, then he says, well, why is that? I took this product. I thought it was gone.
Mm. I know what company you're talking about because I see that all the time. It's so funny. What kind of tests do you like for Candida since you said it comes back as a yeast or a fungus and swaps back and forth?
We use principally three tests in my practice. We use stool, very advanced stool testing, which looks for DNA from Candida, but even that is faulty. Even that is faulty because Candida as an organism is very hard to get a hold of in a sample. You see, it usually dies by the time it makes its way to the lab, so that omits a culture showing it. And when it dies and it degrades, the DNA gets fouled up. So you don't always spot the DNA correctly. Bacteria and other organisms are totally different. They're much easier to replicate. But the stool test is still valuable as far as determining your overall biome, because the biome is what allows the candida to exist. So if you do a stool test on someone, you see they're missing key parts of their biome. Even if the candida doesn't show, you can be pretty much guaranteed it's there.
Okay.
If the lab also does a microscopy study where they look at the stool under the microscope, they'll see yeasts. And if they see a lot of dead yeasts, those yeasts were once alive. That's how they became dead. And those yeasts usually are going to be candida. So that's the saving grace with some stool tests. We principally use urine. And in the urine, we look for organic acids from candida, or we look for protein complexes from candida. Those are the two ways I found are the best way, because they're giving you a live look. It's real time of what's happening with the candida at that time. And one of the stool tests, that urine tests that we use, actually gets worse when you're having die off. So if the person goes on a program and they feel horrible and they're saying, oh, I think this candida is getting worse, and they do the test and it shows that the levels have elevated, we know that that's actually a Herxheimer reaction. They're not getting worse.
Yeah. Are you talking about the oat test? Like, yes. From Mosaic? Yeah.
Primarily the arabinose is the most valid markers. There are other markers there, but they can be influenced by other things. For the arabinose to falsely read, the amount of vegetable and fruit material you'd have to eat to make that elevate would be so you couldn't afford it financially to eat that much of that stuff. So the arabinose is the most reliable marker on the oats test.
Interesting. Okay. And then do you ever see it like flop back where it'll be like arabinose and then it will come back as like a different marker will be elevated the next time? Is it?
Yeah. And that can be because the other markers are also indicating mold. So sometimes you can get mold there, or you can get candida, not in the fungal form, but in the yeast form. And that will influence those other markers. But arabinose, no. Arabinose is a fungal marker.
Interesting. I just saw that actually on somebody's lab, like from 2 years ago, arabinose was high and then it came back and arabinose was normal, but other markers
came in. Yeah.
Really high. Yeah. Okay. So why, like when people are going after it, then are they just trying like antifungals or antifungals, I feel like are typically what people use for it. So, where are they going wrong? What do they need? Do they need a swap in the middle?
The first problem, and in my book, there's a section on axioms.
Okay.
And one of the first axioms in dealing with candida is that you must rotate antifungals. Mm-hmm. If you take the same antifungal, there's two basic products or therapies that you use to get rid of candida. There are some that work mechanically, where they actually work by physically cutting into the candida or digesting it, or by scrubbing it off the lining of your intestines. Those are the ones that work mechanically.
Okay.
We categorize all those as phase zero products, zero phase. There are other products that work that kill it with a drug-like effect, a pharmaceutical effect. Those are the herbs and botanicals and caprylic acid and things like that. They work like a drug. So there's an interplay that occurs between both of these categories. But the senior thing is that when you're taking the antifungals that are botanicals or fatty acids, you must rotate them, because candida is highly resistive. If you keep taking the same pharmaceutical or botanical for more than 21 days, the candida starts to mutate. It's actually on day 21 of being exposed to whatever the product is, the candida will begin to mutate and become drug resistive against it. After a few weeks, the product stops working. One of the things that we constantly heard from people who came to us in the beginning was, the doctor put me on nystatin. I felt great for about a month or two, and then all the symptoms came back. He tried increasing the dose of the nystatin, and it just made it worse. That was one of the first tip-offs I had to what was happening. And basically how I developed this whole protocol was by listening to the patients, believing them, and reverse engineering what they were telling me, by taking the data they gave me and hitting the textbooks on my mycology and finding what the reason was. So when people would tell me they were taking the same thing and they felt great and then it stopped working, I went to see how mutative candida was, how quickly it would mutate or become drug resistive. And I found the answer very simply in textbooks.
That makes sense. I think I hear that all the time. I don't deal with a lot of yeast and candida people, but I have heard that. They were like, I was put on an antifungal and I felt amazing, and then
stopped working.
I stopped working. Yeah.
That's the reason why.
That makes sense. So, okay, well, let's go back then. So what if someone goes, do I have symptoms of candida or yeast? Like, what symptoms would those be? Like, if you're just kind of suspect.
When it first comes upon you, the little friends, the first thing that you feel is usually a fatigue. You usually get a malaise, a fatigue, and you don't know why. And it's kind of dull feeling. Yeah, that starts. Eventually, this happens again, but much worse later on. But it eventually starts that way. Then you could start feeling digestive symptoms. You start feeling bloating, gas, burping, constipation usually, or diarrhea, depending on your biome. But you'll have a GI disturbance. Then you can get a rash. You can get arthritic symptoms. You can just feel horrible. Now, here's where the fatigue and the brain fog then will kick in again, but it's worse. As this continues, the person then can develop what we used to call universal reactor syndrome, which now we know it as mast cell activation, where the person is now developing leaky gut syndrome, and now they're reactive to everything. Now their allergies, sensitivities are just through the roof. That's the typical progression that happens with most people.
Oh my, Lanta, I feel like you're talking about a lot of people right now. I think a lot of people are probably like, that's me.
Yeah.
So how do you get it? Like, is it something that just develops because you have a poor microbiome in the place?
Yes. Anything that disturbs your microbiome brings it on, because to understand, your microbiome is like a community, and you have some of the people in this community keep the bad guys under control. And when those guys that keep the bad guys under control are absent, then the bad guys go out of control. So we're talking about your biome, where you have acidophilus in your small intestine, bifidus in your colon, and you have a neutral form of E. coli that's throughout, which is also considered a good guy. When those are compromised, candida, which is a subdominant organism, becomes dominant and goes out of control. Now it begins to populate, and you've got so much of it, it's releasing so many toxins in your system that you feel horrible.
Oh, so coming back to the stool test, because I would say, I'm trying to think how many times I've seen candida actually pop on that, and it's very, very rare. I will see it more often on the oat. Typically, though, we suspect candida if, like, your commensal bacteria is very, very low.
That's correct. You should. I wrote a booklet on this for a stool test interpretation when candida doesn't show. And there'll be different markers you can look at. First, it's an absence of commensal bacteria. Second, you look at the pH of the stool. If the pH of the stool is above 7.2, odds are the person has candida. Then you look at their butyrate levels. If butyrate is low, odds are they have candida. Then you also look at their the fecal IgA. If that's elevated, probably have candida. So you look at all these factors. So if someone had all those factors showing up, but they didn't have candida, odds are the candida is there. It just didn't show in the stool.
That's so gross. So I'm curious that, like, if we're going through this whole process, something I've never really done with clients, and I'm curious what you do, is have them go on like an extreme like candida diet while they're doing it, because I feel like you have so many phases of getting rid of candida that most people don't avoid eating fruit for, you know, that amount of time. Do you typically recommend diet?
Yeah, we have 8 different diets that we use for candida. They're in part based on the level of candida the person has, their biome, and their blood type.
Oh, okay. And then how long do you feel like it typically takes to get rid of candida?
9 months to a year if the person does everything that they're supposed to without interruptions.
Wow. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's gone. So
right. And then it's gone. And we document that with testing, as opposed to what we were talking about earlier, where people say, oh, I got rid of it in 2 weeks with this product or a month with that product, and they have no documentation that it was ever there in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. So what then are you doing? So are you killing the whole time on candida, like just rotating? Or
no, about 3/4 of the time we're killing it. 1/4 of the time we're getting the flora back to normal. Okay. See, once you've had candida, even if you don't have leaky gut, once you've had candida, the candida alters your gut. It alters the collagen in your gut, and it makes it harder for probiotics to stick, which is the second interesting thing. Another axiom in my book is you never give probiotics to a person until you've reduced their candida to the point where the probiotics will actually stick. because you're just totally wasting your money. The candida repels the probiotics. The bad biome repels the probiotics. It stops them from sticking. So when the person is taking all these expensive probiotics, they're literally just going right in the toilet. The person might as well take the bottle, go in the bathroom, pour it right in the toilet, and they'll bypass having to take them because it's the same effect. When candida is there, there is an action with candida against probiotics where they'll either sort of fight with each other, or the probiotic will just be repelled and not be able to reattach or reinoculate in the intestinal tract. So it's only going to happen when you get the candida low enough. And we know from the testing those markers, which is hard to explain to people who don't understand the testing or have not a familiarity with it. But let's just say that you have to get the candida down to a certain degree before the probiotics will work. And then you also have to be really aware of the prebiotics that you're using, because the prebiotics sometimes are more important than the probiotic. Now, the probiotic you could think of as being the seed, and the prebiotics are the fertilizer and the good things you put in the soil to get the seed to grow. So you've got to have the right prebiotics to create an environment in your intestinal tract where the probiotics will be able to stick and then grow. And if you don't have that combination there, it's not going to work.
Wow, so there's a lot of killing. Do you have to rotate then, literally like every 20 days, like stay on top?
No, what we see, let me explain the lineup. The first phase the person goes into is phase zero. In phase zero, they use the mechanical things that start to remove the surface layers of candida. They take things that are going to expel biofilm, mucus, old poop that the candida is hiding in, and they take enzymes and diatomaceous earth and different things which mechanically remove the candida, scrub and loosen and remove the candida. After they've done that, they go to phase one, which is where we rotate systemic antifungal botanicals. So we'll give them usually four or groups of four, and they'll rotate them 4 days each. So every 4 days, they switch to a different group of antifungals. And they do this until the urine test says that they've worked and they've destroyed all the candida systemically. Then we go into the intestinal tract, and we use at that point antifungals, which are fatty acid based. Because in the intestinal tract, these fatty acid antifungals are able to absorb into your gut lining, like oil into leather, and kill the candida right at the roots. When that's accomplished, then the probiotics will now work.
What is a antifungal with a fatty acid?
Caprylic acid.
Okay.
Undecylenic acid. Lauricidin, which is known as monolaurin.
Okay. So it's
and also butyric acid. Yeah, those four.
That makes sense. And then after that is then when you
probiotics.
Yep. Okay. When do people start like noticing a difference?
Mushrooms are all the rage. We are seeing them in all of our chocolates and hot chocolates and coffees and pretty much every product I feel like people are adding mushrooms to, because it's very, very marketable. And please don't fall for the marketing. It's really, really important that you're paying attention to the quality and the dosage of the mushrooms that you're getting. Remember, for example, with reishi, all of those studies that are done that show all of the benefits of reishi mushroom are done on 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams. And a lot of these products that you're getting, you're going to be really lucky if they have 250 milligrams of reishi. So if you're going to be spending your hard-earned money on mushrooms, it's so important that you're getting the correct dosage and that you're getting quality. This is why I use Aversio Wellness mushrooms. I've been using them for a year and a half now, and everybody I know that uses them is equally obsessed. I will never stop using them. They're incredible. But they have a very high extraction ratio, so I can take one capsule and actually reach the therapeutic dosage of the mushroom that I'm wanting. They are an extract, which is really important, and they are certified organic, and they are fruiting body only, which is all the things that are really important. And they do have their certificate of analysis right there on your website, so you can look at all of the testing and make sure you're actually getting what you pay for. So when you don't know where to start in terms of mushrooms, you guys know I talk about my favorites all of the time. And I really want to share with you their sets, because I think that their sets are a great way to save money. Not only do you get 10% off when you buy a set, but then you can stack that with the discount code Leah, L-E-A-H, to save an extra 15%, which is incredibly generous of them. So I want to share with you one of my favorite sets, and that is the Balance set. So if you listened to episode, I believe it was episode 173, yep, that came out on August 5th, about how you can cycle functional mushrooms to help balance your hormones, go listen to that episode. You will really, really appreciate it. But this is the one that is used a lot of times and recommended for that luteal phase, so that those 2 weeks before your period. And it has the Energize Now, which is cordyceps, Everglow Now, which is tremella, and then it has the Balance blend in it, which has a blend of 4 mushrooms. Now, the reason why I really think that this is such a great place to start is because you're going to be supporting your body's ATP. You're going to be supporting your energy with that cordyceps that would take that in the morning. And then the Everglow is a great way to support stomach acid, which, if you know, digestion can be a little finicky in this phase. So you're coming in with a whole food based support to help that. It's also great for skin health. And if your skin goes a little wonky in this phase, you're going to love this one. And then the Balance blend is going to be amazing because it has reishi and lion's mane. So you're going to be helping support your brain health. You're going to be helping support your HPA axis and helping calm your body, but it also has maitake and shiitake in there, which are incredible for blood sugar support and ovarian support. So we all know that blood sugar can get a little bit more wonky in this luteal phase. So this, I truly believe, is one of the best sets to start with if you don't know where to start. So highly recommend using the Balance set. Just go to eversiowellness.com. That's eversiowellness.com and get the Balance set. You can save 10% by getting the Balance set. And then you can also use my name, LEAH, to save an extra 15% on your purchase, on every purchase, actually.
Usually on phase zero, they'll get some die-off. So they'll notice immediately the Herx reaction. And they can have, but the thing about our phase zero products, I formulated our phase zero products so they also help you detoxify the die-off that you get. So the person's on phase zero for the whole time. So any die-off they get from phase one or phase two is minimal because of taking phase zero.
That makes sense. So I have a side question. Do you find, I feel like mold is like becoming more paramount. People are becoming more aware. I don't really think it's because there's more mold. I think it's just that we're becoming sicker as a society and our terrain is not good and we're just more susceptible to all of these things. So do you end up on getting a lot of mold patients?
Yeah, and they're very interesting because if you go into a household where there's mold and you start asking the individuals how they feel, the ones that are affected the most by the mold are the ones that have candida pre-existing before they came into the house. That's why you'll find people in a mold house. Some of them are in really bad shape from it and others are okay or not as bad. And that's why some have candida, some don't.
And when do you find that like getting rid of the candida also gets rid of the mold?
Yes, well, it does, because the things that we use kill mold and fungus and yeast all at the same time. So yes, I do find that's true.
Do you ever? I am full of questions for you.
So just keep hitting me.
Do you ever find that like with candida, people have like weird things with fatigue? Because I'm wondering, like, you know, I feel like if you are tired all the time, you're kind of like, oh, something's wrong. But do you find that some people are like, no, I'm really only tired certain times of the day, or I really struggle to get up in the morning, or I'm really crashing in like the early evening? Like, do you ever find that it just kind of depends on the person, how their fatigue shows up?
It depends on their endocrine system, how the candida is affecting their hormones and their endocrine system. One thing I can guarantee you is that after you finish treating a candida patient with my method and you've reinstated their flora, the next thing that's going to come up is their adrenal function. It's 90% of the time that the person has exhausted adrenals. And those adrenals will fluctuate while they have candida to cause those different changes in their energy, as you're saying. But by the time they're finished, that's the thing that comes up if there's not a toxic metal issue. And that's in our third phase. So after the person goes through everything, they reinstate their probiotics. The third phase of my treatment is looking into toxic chemicals, toxic metals, and their endocrine function, because that's what usually is the next item.
I was going to say their thyroid probably is really struggling.
Candida has a particular affinity for thyroid. Hashimoto's is very candida related.
That's interesting. So that would make sense then why someone's like thyroid issues would get worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But you can pretty much guarantee that's what you end up handling after the probiotics are reinstated. You have to look for toxic metals and toxic chemicals, which could have made the person susceptible to candida in the first place and which could cause them to relapse. And then as part of that, you have to look at their endocrine system, because their endocrine system is what drives detoxification. Without your thyroid and adrenal hormones, your liver can't detoxify properly. So if you want to get rid of those metals, you have to really bring upgrade their thyroid and adrenal activity as close to normal as you can.
Do you ever try and support those as they're going through diet?
No, it's difficult to do that, because this is the next issue you'll read about as far as an axiom. There are a lot of vitamins and nutrients, which either act as a antidote to antifungals or make candida worse directly by feeding it or accelerating its reproduction. So any antioxidant virtually that you take is going to interfere with antifungals. Why? Antifungals, principally, especially botanicals like Artemisia, how it works is by creating oxidative stress against the membrane of the organism. So if you're trying to kill something with these herbs that create oxidative stress, if you take antioxidants, what do antioxidants do? They neutralize the oxidative stress. So they're nullifying the treatment. Then the next category are the nutrients that actually feed candida and make it worse. How I discovered this was by looking at the mechanism of how drugs that are antifungal work. Vitamin D, for instance, is one of the worst things you can take if you have candida, because vitamin D is responsible for keeping the structure of candida strong, as is copper and calcium. Iron is a food for candida, major food. So when you start to study all this, you find out that ketoconazole, very popular antifungal, works by inhibiting the absorption of vitamin D into the candida cell. Nystatin works by blocking iron absorption into the candida cell. So if you know this, why would you give a candida patient iron and vitamin D if these drugs are killing candida by blocking the uptake?
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're going to see those deficiencies, I'm sure. Like if it came back in blood work, you would have deficiencies across the board. But if you try to build that up without getting rid of the candida, you're just having expensive poop again.
I'll tell you an interesting story. When we were first researching the Oats test, person would do the whole panel. They'd have all these problems. They'd have arabinose high, whatnot. We'd treat them, get rid of the candida, have them do the test again. More than half the markers that were out on the first test, and I'm not talking about the fungal markers, I'm talking about ketone fatty acid markers, mitochondrial markers. Half of those that were out now all of a sudden are better, even though we didn't treat them. It's just by getting rid of the candida, they just improved.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think when I was reading through your stuff, what I thought was so interesting is that there's just so many symptoms. Like there's so many different symptoms. I feel like candida in some ways is like a mimicker. Like you can really go down the wrong path if you're just going by symptoms.
Well, if you think about what it does, it releases different toxins, neurological toxins. It releases fungal toxins, fungal antigens. It releases alcohol, tons of alcohol into your body. There's even a Japanese strain of candida that's so strong that some people were pulled over driving and they were physically intoxicated even though they didn't have a drink.
Oh, why?
So if you think about it, if this organism is able to do that, and the organism also permeates your tissues like cancer, candida and cancer have certain things in common. One thing is both of them will eat into your tissues, and the next thing is both of them are fed by sugar. Sugar feeds both of them. Sugar accelerates cancer, it accelerates candida. And both are very hormonal influenced. Just like hormones influence cancer, hormones influence candida. Estrogen and cortisol, those two hormones will accelerate the growth of candida.
Which makes sense why you tend to start to get those painful ovulations.
Possibly, yeah.
Estrogens.
Yeah. As it elevates, yes.
Yeah. That's kind of depressing when you think about it.
The good news is it can be handled. That's the good news.
I think it's very realistic when you were like, it takes 9 months to a year if you do everything perfectly? Because I think sometimes people will be 30 days into a protocol and they're like, I'm worse. It's not working. And it's like, well, you actually might be right on the right path, my dear.
It may be worse because you're having die-off reactions, but the person has to know that with certainty. They have to have something that's going to show them that. We had a patient once who came in. I'll never forget this patient, nor will my staff, because she was very flamboyant. And she came in with her family, and she had all these GI symptoms, burping and farting and all this. And the family, they were all making all these jokes about her and how she would fart and burp, and it was a whole thing. So she was on the program for a few months. All of that went away. And I told her, but you're still not finished. She wanted to quit. I said, but you're not finished. Oh, I know what I'm doing. It's gone, blah, blah, blah. I said, the tests show it. You still have it. No, I know what I'm doing. So she was gone. We never heard from her. 2 years later, she calls and comes back. And she says, I have arthritis. My digestive symptoms are still good, but now I have arthritis. And she said, I went online and I looked and I read and I found out candida can cause rheumatoid arthritis. And she says, you were right. I should have never left. I should have stayed and finished, because now I have arthritis. So we tested her, and she now had leaky gut and arthritis. She had positive ANA, a high C-reactive protein, her RH factor was high. And all these things were going on because the candida had now changed its attack. Instead of attacking her digestive system, which we nullified, it was now giving her arthritis.
Wow. That's why it's so important to, like, not stop mid-protocol.
No, that's true.
That's crazy. So can you tell me some stories? I think it's very interesting to hear, like, people that have been trying all sorts of random things, and then they go, oh, it was candida the whole time.
I've heard the most crazy stories. I've heard stories I still don't believe about what happened with people as far as candida. We had one person who every time they took out the garbage would have a sneezing fit.
What?
And they couldn't figure out why it was. And they came saying, you know, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but every time I take out the garbage, I sneeze for like an hour afterwards. And what was happening, candida had caused leaky gut. They were highly allergic. And when they went to the garbage, because the garbage, they lived in Florida, and because of the heat was causing the garbage to putrefy, and they were getting hit with all this stuff they couldn't detoxify, so they ended up sneezing.
Oh, my. That makes sense, though.
It does, but it's not something you would expect.
No.
We had this other person who had a pain in their nose, and they went to every ENT in the world. They kept examining their nose, and they just kept telling them there's nothing wrong, but the nose hurt. And when they got rid of their candida, the pain went away.
Was it just like transfer pain or?
No, they actually had some inflammation that was up here in their upper sinuses that the doctor couldn't see. And the inflammation was irritating all the nerve endings in that area.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you ever find, like, I feel like one thing that goes along a lot with candida and yeast is sensitivity to gluten?
Yeah, that's normal.
Do you ever find that after they get rid of it, they're.
It's gone. If you look at the GI map, they'll look at your gluten antibodies. And it's gluten is one of the key things that feeds candida. So once you get rid of the candida and that gluten reaction stops, you have to stop the gluten for a few months too to allow your immune system to desensitize. But after that point, the gluten allergy will go away.
Yeah. I always think that's interesting when their anti-gliadin comes back low. It's like, hallelujah, look at that. Good job.
Yeah, there you go.
That's crazy. So I am curious, why on earth candida? Like, why did you just decide to be like, I'm going to study candida?
Because it was a mystery.
You like mysteries?
No, I like to unravel them. I'm like a detective, a medical detective.
Did you have a lot of patients coming in? Did you have a lot of patients?
Yeah, we did. We had, I was working for a long time with some researchers at Grumman Aerospace on a project that we were doing for NASA that was going to be computer software that could analyze the astronauts' blood when they were in the space station to see changes in their calcium, in their protein levels, so they didn't lose muscle mass. And we started using this computer system on people, civilians. And we had a lot of people reversing their illnesses by rebalancing all their nutrients and detoxifying them and whatnot. But we had about 30% of the people that had bizarre reactions. They would take the vitamins and get worse and have all kinds of allergic reactions. And then I found out that they had the same problem when they took medication. So I initially thought it was a low hydrochloric acid because that's a known symptom of low stomach acid. But I found out that it went further than that. I found out eventually that it was because they had candida. And what I did was I told all these people, go to your doctor, tell them you have candida. And I said, here's the stool test. Bring them the stool test. Tell them you have candida. Have them cure you of it and then come back to us and we'll put you back on the program. And people would call up and they'd say, the doctor says you're nuts or I'm nuts. There's no such thing as candida or everybody has candida, all these stories. So I said, well, I'm going to give you another referral. I'm going to send you to Dr. Atkins, who was in Manhattan at the time. He was still alive, doing well. Or I sent them to Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Those were the two functional medical doctors in New York City at the time. And they went to them and they said, well, this was much better. They knew what you were talking about. And they said, yes, I did. And they put me, here's where the nystatin story is. They put me on nystatin. I was on it for a month. I felt great. And then it all came back. So it was at that point that I decided I needed to figure this out. I need to find out what this is about, why this is occurring.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think that's probably one of the biggest frustrating things with clients is when you feel better and your symptoms come back, you know, because there was kind of light at the end of the tunnel there for a little bit.
Well, for a lot of people, it's still a win and still a revelation because they understand that change was possible, help was possible, change was possible. So it's still good for them. And what most of them do is they just keep looking for somebody who knows the rest of the story. Because usually a person who comes to me has usually been fighting with this for at least 10 years. They've seen at least a dozen doctors. They've spent thousands of dollars. But they have certainty because they did things that did work, even though it was temporarily. So, but they still know it's possible. So they'll keep looking, and eventually they're looking for somebody who knows the whole picture.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's a long time, you know, to have to, like, you have to understand that whole process because most people, when they are thinking of getting rid of something, they're not like, oh, yeah, I'm signing on for a year to, like, get rid of this. They're like, oh, no, I'm signing on for 40, 50, 60 days, right? And I'm going to feel better. It's like, no, it's going to be
We usually tell them right off the bat what the deal is, what the truth is. And it's more people are going to know more and more and more and get more educated as time goes on now. Because believe it or not, who knows about this and who understands it is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he will be spreading the word.
He just got in today. He got confirmed.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we need him. So.
Yeah, hopefully he'll make some changes in that area. So the Candida Chronicles that I was like reading through, is that available for people to buy somewhere?
Oh, sure. It's on Amazon like everything else is.
Okay, so we'll link that in the show notes so people are able to read it. Because I felt like that was very eye-opening for me to read through, and I'm sure some other people want to read through it as well.
And the good part about it is it goes through all the mistakes. Yeah. I really try to punctuate that in the book, the mistakes that are made. So that, like, a lot of people will come to us and they'll say, typical, I heard you on a podcast or I read your book and it blew me away because I've been treating candida for years and now I finally know what was wrong.
Yeah. So if you're going to leave everybody with like one thing, what would it be?
Eat organic, eat non-GMO.
Okay. That was not
universally. That's what I would say. Eat organic, eat non-GMO. Be really careful of labeling and listen to RFK Jr. That's the best thing people can do in general.
Of labeling. Labeling what?
Labeling of foods and products, personal care items.
Oh, okay. So like looking at ingredients and stuff like that. Very interesting.
Okay, now, so
can people find you?
They can find me on the internet easily. My website is health-truth.com. I have two other websites. One is the New York City Candida Doctor and the New York City Thyroid Doctor. Those are my three websites.
All right. We're going to link the Candida Chronicles in the show notes so you guys can grab those. Thank you very much for hopping on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Balancing Hormones Naturally. If you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with a friend and post it on your stories and tag Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast so we can get this message out.
You can find me on Instagram @Leah_BRUEG, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.